Hey, what is going on, everybody? This is Martha D. Staub, owner of MDMC Entertainment, and I am here with episode 13. I believe this one is The Power of Networking for Business Growth. Okay. So I had problems with this recording. Actually, in fact, I ended up recording this episode already. And then when I went to edit it, the audio was shot. So I have to redo it. So I had some really good points the first time I recorded this. So we're going to go back and do it again. All right. The power of networking. I believe that networking is the secret sauce to everyone's success. I feel that all of MDMC could not have happened without the power of networking. When I first started this thing, I started MDMC because I was bored at my 9-to-5. I really was just bored overall of everything that was happening. My job was boring. I really couldn't expand that network of what I was doing within that company because my bosses were very, very corporate-minded people. So they did not believe that everyone should be intertwined in everything. They thought the further away someone is away from something, the better. What we're going to do is we're just going to assign our little robots what to do, and then we'll deal with the back end of it. So essentially, in a marketing field, the objective is for you to go in, do the work that you think should be happening for that company, and look at all the data, look at where the leads are coming from, really kind of figure out the strategy on what needs to happen on that end, and then develop it and then run with it. The problem was I was being told what to do, which I know it's part of the job, but I wasn't exactly told why. They would say, hey, you need to work on this, this, and this. And I said, okay, but why though? Like, what's the objective? And they wouldn't tell me the objective. And it got to a point where all I was doing was just doing social media content. I was just every freaking week. It got boring. So about 2 years prior to that, I had gone into the world of Comic-Con and working with some Star Trek actors on some projects and a movie. And I was just like, you know, this is where I want to be. I want to work in entertainment forever. That's not tangible unless I actually work for one of the big, you know, like the big companies, right? Unless I was like at a legit, like huge marketing company in Hollywood, and then I could do all that stuff. But I didn't want to do that because, again, I just felt like I couldn't really work for somebody. I wanted to do this on my own. I wanted to make my own connects. So because I had that connect and because I got onto that film set, because I got, you know, I was like, this is tangible. Like I can meet other people and grow this. And so every weekend every time I had to go to a show, I was like, I really don't want to, but I'm going to meet so-and-so. So maybe that'll just help push the needle along. And I believe it did. You know, I feel like at the end of each year, I'd diagnose, okay, how far did I move this needle? Am I better off in a position than I was last year with all of the work that I did, for all the gas money I spent, for all the traveling I did? Did it push the needle further? And most times, yes, it did. Other times, it was like, ugh, you could have done better. So I feel that getting into where I was at that specific time, it did wonders for me. I was able to kind of confidently say, you know what, I am going to start a business. I am going to do this. You know, I am sought after. I haven't had to build that up because every now and then I still have imposter syndrome because I'm like, who wants to work with me? And it doesn't really hit until, you know, I have a conversation with a friend of mine who actually works in Hollywood and says, you know, you're such a badass. You do this, this, and this. I'm like, I'm not. Quit gassing me up. And there are some people that will keep me grounded. So I'm not all the way over in the stratosphere thinking I'm the shit. Sometimes I think I am, sometimes I don't. But there are moments when I have to encapsulate my career and kind of show it off to everybody, be like, oh crap, I did do this. Like the other day I had to do that. I'm just like, how does this happen? Like, why did this happen? And I go back and think, I've pretty much manifested my entire career, which is insane to me. You know, I remember watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, being inspired to be a journalist, and then watching Lois and Clark, The Adventures of Superman, and wanting to be Terry Hatcher. She was a beautiful brunette, which was different to see. And she was smart and witty, and I love that about her. And I just was like, you know what? I want to be like Terry Hatcher and, you know, find a Superman. And I found it. Never mind. I'm not even going to go into that one. But I ended up growing my career in the sense of it reflecting the pop culture. And so I felt like, all right, cool. Like, I can do all this. And then, you know, going into the Power Ranger land, you know, after Star Trek, I fell into the Power Ranger bunny hole and kind of just seeing how that progressed. And then, of course, you know, friends with Power Rangers, it's nuts. I'll never forget, I was going down the freeway and I was talking to, you know, one of the actors who played a villain on Power Rangers. I'm like, what? And he's a very fantastic voice actor. I was like, how does this happen? What? And, you know, just back-to-back meetings. I used to do that when I was driving down the freeway in San Diego. I was like, I'm talking to who? How does this happen? And I feel like because I was in these circles, I worked to get into them. And because I did, I can therefore network into other spaces. And I think, you know, it's actually a pretty good thing to kind of get into. And I'm probably glad that this recording didn't work the first time, because I just had a very good conversation with a friend of mine. I consider him a dear friend. I think he is a fantastic person, very talented. He's a dancer. He's worked in some of the biggest studios and currently working in one of the biggest studios in Hollywood. I can't believe I know someone like that and that he's so cool with me and we're friends. And, you know, the power of networking. You know, we met because he did a documentary on one of the Rangers I worked with. And I'm just like, you know, I wanted to make sure this guy was legit. I wanted to make sure he wasn't going to do something shady. Like, I remember being upset that I didn't know about it. And I told the Ranger, I said, why didn't you tell me this is happening? Who is this guy? And once I saw him and vetted him out, I was like, okay, this guy is pretty cool. And then we got to know each other and we just became very good friends, like on a family level. We're like family to each other now. And, you know, the conversation that we had the other day is that, you know, we mutually respect each other and each other's work. When there is something I need done, especially in the videography world, because I am not a videographer, sometimes I do all these events and I'm really upset over the years that I didn't have someone recording it and making it happen for me, like really shooting some video, kind of showing, you know, and I've gotten a lot better. I had gotten a lot better at calling someone up saying, hey, let's take video. And I usually call my friend. And so in the past big events that we had, the DDP thing, the D-Lo signing at Wrestling Guide Store, I called him up. I'm like, I need help with this. This is, especially the DDP one. I was like, this is my biggest signing I've ever done. I don't know if I'll ever get back to that level of that. We'll see. But I said, you know, I really want people to see like what MDMC is capable of. And I want to be able to do this and just show people. And he says, done. He got another friend of his and he's like, we'll do two cameras. We'll do B-roll. We'll do this. We'll do this. You just tell us what to do. Give us the itinerary. And I did. So, and of course I paid him for it. I'm not ever expecting anything free from anybody. I just did some promos for CEO Things, which is my course. If you want to take my course, you can do that now. I literally spit my brain out onto a course that you can buy now. So, but that's beside the point. The person I hired to do the voiceover work was someone that my friend had brought on to do a table read a couple years ago. And so, you know, these mutual connections, because we've networked with each other, because we've, you know, ended up hiring each other to do different things, that's a mutual respect. And so You know, and he brought up a good point is that because we work in these areas, because we work with certain people, there are times that people could take advantage of it. And I mentioned this in the first recording of this. When you network with people, you can't make it so self-serving. You have to really care about who you're networking with. And I say this when you go to Comic Cons, when you go to mixers, when you go to any of these events where high profile, successful people are going to be at, you really should take an interest in who they are and what they do. And I often tell people, research somebody before you go and meet them at a mixer or a networking event so that you have something to talk about, and that way you have a way to connect and make that meaningful connection. And you have to really care about who they are and what they do, and not just make it such a self-serving thing. As I understand, networking is self-serving, but there is a special way to do it. It's like hunting. You have to be slow and gracious at it, and then boom, you know, you have a really cool connection. In my case with my friend, because he's so connected, because he has all these people, I respect him gratefully. I have never called him up and said, hey, you know, you're working with this A-list star. Can I go and meet them? No, I would never do that. He does work on a really cool lot that I've not been to. And I will say I will use that for my advantage one day and be like, I need a tour. Which he would graciously do, but I haven't asked him because I just don't feel like doing it. But you know, there are times where, you know, he has done fantastic work and he connected great with one of my clients. And one of my clients was like, hey, I really like him. You know, would it be weird to ask for his number? And I said, let me ask him. So I'll go to my friend. I'm like, hey, I mean, how did you like doing this with this person? He's like, oh, I love him. He's great. I really connected with him. And I said, he wants your number. Is it cool if I give it to him? And he's like, I'll give it to him. And then, of course, the ice breaks in between the two. And they're like, oh, my God, I really did like you. I really love what you're working on. And they connected so well that, you know, they could eventually work together at some point. So because the other person didn't feel like it was a self-serving thing, it was more of a mutual respect for each other. And so, yes, networking has been a huge asset for me. And a great way that I've done this, especially with like celebrity talent, over the years, I've hired celebrity talent to come and sit at my booth and sign autographs. I pay them, obviously. I pay for their flight, their hotel, their food, if it's a per diem thing, things like that, right? So because I pretty much roll out the red carpet for that person to give me publicity for my brand, what I'll end up doing is, you know, I try to make it as seamless as possible, a great opportunity, you know, fun for everyone. When we are done with the show, you know, sometimes if, you know, depending on what they have planned, I always like to take them out to a really nice dinner. And, but I mean, really nice. I mean, Ruth, Chris and up, like, $500 dinner. And just because it's my appreciation to them, they've gone out all this way, you know, let's get a nice piece of steak, you know, and chat. And because I've done those things in the past, they have a respect for me. I have a respect for them. And it's never been like, what else can I squeeze out of this person? It's more building a relationship. And in the past couple times, he has been so great to be like, hey, I'm going to be at the bar. A lot of the other wrestlers are going to be there. Come sit with me. Let's have a drink together and let me introduce you to some people. I'm like, hell yeah. And so I ended up meeting so many great people, and I've got that stamp of approval because I told them, I said, I really want to work with this person and this person. Like, how are they? And I can vet these people out before I even go and even talk to them about price and what they want. And he'll tell me, be like, oh, okay, this one's great. This one, you're going to have problems with. Maybe tread lightly into that one. Or this, this, and this. And so what they'll do is they'll introduce me to these people. I'll end up, you know, being gracious and saying hi or whatever. And then later on, I will be like, hey, you know, after that event's long over, 2 months, 3 months down the road, I'm like, hey, I really do want to work with this person. Could you do a reintroduction for me so that I can talk to them and hire them? And he's like, absolutely. And so, you know, he'll say, oh, this one's a good, I forget the coding that they use to signify who's a great person to work with. And, you know, I've gotten that stamp of approval. So it is super important because I've sat there and networked, not just with that one person. I nurtured those relationships so that later on I could be seen as someone great to work with. It is self-serving, but it's also relationship building. I think you do this with anything. It's important to build those relationships. It's important to show off your work ethic, who you are, what you do, and what you bring to the table. And in other cases, I've had to go to networking events where, you know, it's a 2-drink minimum. You really don't know who's going to be there. But I had gotten quite a few interesting hits from people that, you know, I was like, oh, I want to work over there. And I'd meet with somebody. I'd talk to them about their company and what they do and all this stuff. And we would swap cards. We'd send emails to each other. And it ends up being something that's great down the road. In the Comic-Con world, you know, I was working for an agent who was sending her talent off to other shows, and they would, you know, we'd do Comic-Cons, or I would travel with talent. I would meet Comic-Con promoters. I would do all the things, and they would know who I am. We would keep in contact well after that show. My Facebook page has now more become more of my business page. It's not even personal anymore. Every now and then I'll throw in a personal picture of, you know, my dogs or like Christmas or whatever special that comes around, my birthday, whatever. I will throw in personal things very seldomly now. But now it has become a business hub where now, you know, Comic-Con promoters are in there. Talent is in there. I mean, I had someone very notable from a very popular movie wish me a happy birthday. And people were like, is that so-and-so? I'm like, yeah, that's her. Shh, don't bug her. And then before you know it, you see comments underneath that person. And I'm like, I'll tell her. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. All my friends kind of freaked. And she's like, it's fine. I love it. Thank you. You know? And so she's like, I know that's bound to happen when I comment on people's things. And I'm like, okay, I'm really sorry, but thank you so much for your well wishes. I love you to pieces, you know, things like that. So, you know, when I have gone and traveled to these places, you know, I will keep in touch with these promoters. I will keep in touch with actors and talent and things like that. I think it's so important. You can't do business without the networking aspect, because they do say it is all about who you know. I compare myself often to somebody that kind of, we run in the same circles, but we're very different in our businesses. My business model is very different from theirs. And one of the things that I have tried not to do is hang on someone's coattails. I want to work with everybody. I want to be able to expand on my own. I want to be able to do different things. I want to, you know, ride that wave of meeting different people versus hitching my wagon to a star and holding on for dear life and hoping everything I want comes out of this one person, which I don't think is necessarily the smartest move. Yes, however, this person has done some cool things and has done, you know, things I'm a little envious of, but I'm like, damn, like, but I don't know anyone that can take me to that level. Or do I even want to do what they're doing? Like, I think it's impressive what they do, but does that fit my model? You know, and I look back at like everything that I myself have accomplished and have pushed off that way. And I'm like, I don't think I could have done that if I was just stuck to one person, hoping they make all my hopes and dreams come true. You know, I'm making my own coattail. I'm not hitching my star to someone else's coattail. And so, and I think, yes, that one person can open all of these doors for somebody, which I think is great. However, from the business aspect, you don't necessarily grow in a way that your business can be multifaceted, I don't believe. But they network that way, I network this way. We're all successful. So at the end of the day, it is what it is. Again, I feel like, and I guess it's something, and this is the conversation I had with my friend yesterday, you know, I think we can kind of tell who really likes us for us and who is only using us or still our friend because of who we are, which is a kind of a weird place I never thought I would be. Now that I think about it, I told him, I said, no one cares about me. No one cares what I'm doing. He's like, oh no, they do. And I think I'm a little, I got blinders, I guess, because from what I see, and I think because I have my blinders on within the scope of social media, I know who's not commenting. I know who's not liking. I know who's not engaging. I know that there are way more people watching versus hitting the double tap liking. You know what I mean? And so I think because I see it from that view and I'm like, no one cares about me. No one cares what I'm doing. No one's showing the love. No one's doing this, this, and this. And he said, that's actually not true. I think he said, there's a lot of people watching you. They just don't want to admit they like you. And, you know, you probably have people that are still watching you and still, you know, keeping you there in the event something happens and they're going to need you. And they're going to be like, oh, but remember, I've been following you since the beginning or whatever. And I'm like, oh, crap, I didn't think of that. And so it's kind of interesting to kind of see it from that point of view. And I think when you network, and there's some people that just aren't networking, they're just sitting there wanting to see what's going to happen, right? There's some people that just will not show interest. And then out of the blue, they'll be like, hey, you know, this, this, and this. And so I think it's an important thing to know is if you are in the purpose of networking, actually do it for the care or the likelihood of whatever it is that that person is doing. Because it's, again, self-serving if you are not mutually interacting. If it's just one-sided, then what's the point? You know, it's, you can tell, you can read through that stuff immediately. Another great way to network, and I always tell people this, especially I had someone who had an e-commerce business that wasn't selling a lot online. And the reason being was because there wasn't a presence. They didn't develop who they are. They didn't really develop their identity. It was brand new. I mean, I think now I have developed who I am. And I get that. Oh, I forgot. I told this story in the last video that didn't work out. But people have now known who I am. If I go into a Comic-Con or I go into something in LA, people will stop me and say, hey. I'm like, oh, hey, you know, nice to see you. Nice to meet you. I remember walking into Paramorphicon and people were yelling for me. And I was like, what? And then the Power Rangers, they're like, oh, wow, look at you. You're famous. I was like, not even. Only like two people yelled for me. You got like 20. But he was like, yeah, but people know who you are now. And I said, yeah, I guess. And so every now and then I'll get a cheer here and there. And so I'm like, all right, I don't know who you are, but hey. But back to the e-commerce thing. You know, this company really didn't have that following yet. And so I had told them, I said, what you really need to do is you need to go out, start doing trade shows, start doing boutique shows, start doing, you know, whatever that e-commerce niche is. You need to go and start doing those. And they said, well, you know, you think that'll work? I said, absolutely. You're going to get in front of people that want your product, that are going to stop and feel it, touch it, you know, really gauge it to see if that's going to be something they want to do and use. And then they'll go for it, you know, and, you know, they were like, okay. And so what happens there, and it's a really fun time, especially when you do trade shows or Comic Cons, you set up your booth, you set up all your stuff, and then you sit there and talk to people. It's really great time to pass out your flyers. I got a bunch of flyers I've printed over here because I'm like, hey, I'm going to be at a show. Let's pass these out. And so I'll do that. I'll pass out flyers. I'll talk to people. I love going to shows. Every time I go, I sell a bunch of Funko Pops. And I'll just sit there and sell, and I'll talk to people, I'll network with people. I think one of the coolest things that happened at the last couple of shows I was at, wrestling shows, I met a woman who was part of GLOW, and she was like, I love your logo. And I was like, yeah, thanks. And she's like, who do you have here? And so I told her my guest and everything. She's like, wow, that's so cool. We need to chat after this. And so I chatted with her. She's a dear friend of mine now. And she's also connected with a lot of different people. And so she, the same thing with her. She's like, let me know if you ever need any help, you know? And I said, vice versa. If you need help from me, you need help with marketing, maybe we can barter, we can do something. And they're like, awesome, thank you. And so the fact that you're willing to play that, it's not about money all the time. Sometimes it's just about making the connection. We'll do that. Same thing with, you know, all the other booths I've had people that have hit me up, a podcast came up to me and said, hey, we would love to interview you for this, this, and this. And I'm like, all right, cool. You know, and they're like, we've been following your career for this long. I'm like, what? How's that possible? And so it wasn't until we met in person, though, that they were willing to come up to me and talk to me about it. For whatever reason, people don't want to DM you unless, I don't know, they'd rather make the connection in person. The point I was getting to this was I did have someone who, I don't know how he found me. Now that we're friends, I should probably ask him, but how he found me. But he said, hi, you're Martha, right? I'm like, yeah, what's up? And he's like, oh, I just want to tell you, I've been following you for a while. I think you're great. I love all your videos. You do such great work. And I wanted to buy some stuff off of you. I was like, no big deal. That guy spent $600 on figures and pops. I said, you are my new best friend. Thank you for coming. And he's like, no, I love it. You're a Latina. You're killing it. Latina owned all this. He's like, I love it. You know, thank you so much. And I had to go back. I was like, who is this guy? Because he did follow MDMC. He did follow Authentics over here. And then he was following me. And I was like, how did this guy find me? I have no idea how he found me. I'm going to have to go back and look and see how he found me. Or maybe just ask him, because it's been a couple of years now. And same thing, the following show, a couple months later, he came to the table and he was asking for me. And, you know, at that point I had Facts of Life with me there and someone else. And they're like, well, she's not here. She's took the talent to the airport. Just wait a while. She'll be back. And the guy waited for me. And then he finally got there. We took pictures, everything, but then he lost out on something he was going to buy. I was like, dude, why didn't you just talk to the other guy? He could have, you know, you could have bought it first. He's like, no, but I want to talk to you about it. I was like, okay, well, thank you. I lost the sale, but thank you. Great. Thanks for visiting me. He's a great guy. Shout out to him. He's actually working on becoming a wrestler right now. He's training with one of the, a famous wrestler everyone knows, but I won't shout it out. But good luck to him. I told him, I said, when you make it big, let me know. That's important. See, that's the thing about networking and meeting people. You have to be willing to get outside of your shell, break down that barrier, talk to people, get to know people, and at the end of the day, have fun with it. And really just think of it more as an opportunity to meet new people. Do not look at it as a self-serving thing. It just, and when you turn it into a self-serving thing, people can read that immediately. They'll be like, ah, oh, this guy just wants this, this, and this. He only wants my connects. I actually had someone who worked with me a while back in 2020. That was a person that wanted to work with me just for my connects. I remember I had to get on a plane and go somewhere, and they said, well, can I go for you instead? I said, no, you can't. This is a deal I have with somebody else. This isn't my MDMC thing. This is another company thing. And so, you know, he was constantly telling me, well, I just want to be able to jump on a plane every month like you do. I'm like, yeah, but it took me a long time to get there. Like, it doesn't happen overnight. I mean, in the event I have a talent going somewhere and I need to go this way, you can go. I ain't paying for you to go. Like, if you want to like set up your deal and connect with people, you can. It's a networking opportunity. But, you know, one of the things that just, it turned me off. It really did. And I don't know, because I've known that person for a really long time. Kind of lost communication here in the middle. But once I started my own business and everything, they came back into the fold. And, you know, they said, oh, I love that, you know, you're doing all this, you're traveling. I used to travel a lot before COVID. Well, I mean, I don't travel as much now, but before COVID, I feel like I was everywhere. Like every month I was on a plane going somewhere. And I love that. I love traveling. I think that was one of the favorite thing about me being able to start my own business was I had the ability to fly anywhere. I had the money coming in and I could go anywhere. And I was making connections. But this person specifically was like, oh, I just want to be able to do what you do. And I said, well, you know, you can't do what I do because I have, you know, these are my people. These are my connections. You know, maybe there's a way, maybe somewhere in between. Yeah, you could do that. But the problem is that I believe this person was wanting this on a platter. And, you know, I had told them at one point, I said, you know, it would be important. It would be good for you to come out and see how we do our shows and our booths, because my plan for that person was to go to all these other shows really push MDMC out to the masses. Like, I have a whole idea plan for the expansion. And they said, well, they were trying to get an office out of me. They said, well, I really need an office space. I said, you don't need an office space. You can do this virtually. Like, you don't need a physical space. And they just kept saying, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you're not doing it that way. If, you know, and especially you're going to go on the road, like around your community, you don't need an office for that. You just need a backdrop and then go to the booth. That could be your office for the weekend. And so I had this whole thing planned. And I said, you know what, let me bring you out to one of the shows we're doing in LA so you can kind of see how we do signings, how we promote, how we do our things. And he was like, all right, cool. We flew him out. And I still had weird feelings about it. Like, I just trust your gut. Just trust that you'll get the ping of when someone is trying to take advantage of you. And but I had a feeling, right? And so I brought this person out. They came to my booth. I got them from the airport right away. You know, they had to come in. I was already setting up. I was like, take an Uber, get to the hotel, get to the showroom floor, and or the con floor. Got to the con floor. I was already working with the talent. We're already doing all the things we needed to do. And you know, this person was all about, hey, can you introduce me here, here, and here? And I'm like, yeah, when I'm done with this, like, we still got to be here with the talent. You know, I can be here with the talent. You can walk around and do what you need to do. And of course, they bought autographs. They did what they needed to do for their own store and everything. And my fellow peers there, kept saying, who's the weird guy at your booth? And I'm like, what do you mean? And they're like, that weird guy that's at your booth. I'm like, the talent? And they're like, no, the other guy. I was like, oh. And so I was like, well, I'm testing out a theory. And they're like, it's bad. I don't know what your theory is, but it's bad. And I was like, oh man, okay. And so I watched while they did their thing. I was watching my talent. This is where I needed a videographer. We didn't get pictures with our talent. We didn't get a group picture. We didn't do anything. The first show was very bomb. Like, I mean, there's a very small video on our YouTube channel of that specific show, and it's mostly pictures and a slideshow. That's not even, it wasn't even that great. But, you know, I tested out this whole theory. I was like, let's see what happens here. And, I'm glad I tested it out because I had a gut feeling that just something wasn't right. And so we did the show, did everything, thanked our talent. The show ended. I had quite a few people. I was networking at that show specifically because it was the first show that they had done of that type. And there was a lot of the New York promoters out there, which is really cool because I got to know all the New York promoters. And now when I go to New York, I know those guys. And so when I do their show out there, or when I attend or whatever, they've all been so gracious to me. One of the guys I met during that show, he had a very top tier talent that was appearing at his booth. And I bought only one autograph because I think it was like $150. I was like, I need more stuff signed, but whatever. It's fine. So I went to that show about a year later from the first show I met him at. I get there and he's like, hey, what's going on? I was like, not much. Here's my, you know, I brought my belt, you know? And he was like, that's all you're getting? You're not getting a pro photo or nothing? I was like, oh no, it's all good. Just the one auto. And he's like, okay. And I didn't ask for any of the following that came. I just said, you know, I paid for my first ticket, which was $150. And they were doing pro photos. And he said, Martha, come here. I was like, oh. So I go over. I said, what's up? And he says, get in line. I said, for what? And he said, pro photo. I said, I didn't pay for pro photo. He's like, I don't care. It's on the house. Don't say anything. I was like, okay. I didn't say nothing. I went in. I took my picture. And I was like, oh my God, thank you so much. And so I get back in the line to get my belt signed. And he gives me a print. And I said, what's this? And he's like, take it. I said, I didn't pay for this. He's like, take it. I was like, okay. Oh, thank you so much. And so I mean, that was almost $500 worth of stuff I got for free. And I went back to him and said, oh, you didn't have to do any of that. Thank you so much for the wonderful memory. I've always loved this person. Thank you so much. And they're like, no problem. So I shared the hell out of that content, and I gave them the hugest shout out, like, hey, you know, great signing, great job, follow these guys, blah, blah, blah. And I tell you, it is absolutely nuts. The power of networking and getting in front of these people, because not only that, I was able to do something really cool and I got a fantastic experience. So it was a great opportunity. And now, because I met those promoters, now when I go to New York, now I have a place to send the talent, which I didn't have before. You know, I had been wanting to tap into the New York market because New York is my second home. Eventually it'll be my first home. We'll see when, but now I know where to go. I know the people there. I have a really great base, and that's exactly what I wanted, because again, it's my second home. If I want to bring talent there, I know where to take them. I know who the people are. I know they're reputable, and it's fantastic. I booked another show with somebody out in Jersey. They called me specifically and said, hey, I know you work with all these people. Can you help me out? I'm like, yeah, I can. What do you need? And I did some crazy things to make sure I could deliver on my end, so they had a good show on their end, and it worked out fantastically. And then that person introduced me to somebody else, and they're like, hey, we're going to need you in March. Can you do this? I'm like, yeah, I can. Yeah, I can. So I tell you, you know, the person I brought to that first show wanted to be able to do what I'm doing here. However, and I don't know if it's because I'm a girl, and this is a very man-driven industry or what, but they trusted me. They knew I could deliver, versus the other guy I had with me, he didn't pass the vibe test. And I remember after that show, we took that guy to lunch, thanked him for his time, kind of wanted to vet him out a little bit, see what the hell's going on. It was very self-serving. It was one of those things like, well, I want to be able to be like you. I want to be able to be like those guys that are in there too. They have this full thing. They're hiring talent. They got this. I was like, dude, you know, you have to have money to get the talent in though, right? Like, it doesn't happen so easily. It just doesn't, you know, you need to have the cash to back it. They're not going to do it for free. And he's like, well, some of your talent does it for free. I said, yes, some of them do, but not all of them do. And I said, this is a very hard industry to get into. Had I not started the networking of this back then in 2014, I wouldn't be where I am today, 2024. 10 years, holy crap. 10 years? It took me 10 years to get here? Yikes. We'll have to sit in that for a minute. So this was 2020, right before COVID, was when I brought this person out. We did all this stuff. It wasn't happening. It just wasn't the vibe. And I just, after that show, I was like, you know, this isn't going to work. Because it was good for me to see in person what kind of person this was going to be to represent my brand. And I'm like, do I trust this person to do that? No. I trust Lewis, Eddie, Alex. I trust those guys on the East Coast to wear that logo and do me proud. I did not trust that guy to wear my logo and wear, you know, do me proud. It was really sad because I really had a lot of hope for that. I really wanted that to be a thing. And it just wasn't it. And what I ended up seeing was this person literally wanted to replicate my success and make it their own. And they were just using me because I was the connect in. And they were like, oh, I want to do more shows. The next time you do a show, I want to go with you, but you have to pay for my plane ticket. No. You know how many plane tickets I've paid for to network? A ton. I mean, I must have spent over the last, between gas, flights, hotels, just travel in general, probably about 10 grand in the past 10 years, maybe $1,000 a year to make that networking thing happen, I remember having to say, I have to go because I have to network. I have to go because I'm networking here. I have to go because I'm networking here. And I, you know, I said, one of these days, this money will come back. One of these days, this money will come back. And I think over time it has. I probably should have taken better notes as to, well, I guess I could as my taxes, but, you know, I wish I had, you know, better idea of exactly how much has come back, you know? And I think that's one of the things that you need to start doing. But let me tell you, before you start thinking about budgeting, before you even start thinking of any of that stuff or your next networking list, let me tell you something about what I've been doing this year specifically. And it's kind of just revitalized me in a way that I didn't expect to happen. I am an avid coffee drinker. Well, not anymore. I used to be. The people over there at Magic Mind have something spectacular that I have never thought could be possible. I was a 4 to 5 cup drinker a day. And, you know, as entrepreneurs, as CEOs, we are constantly on the go from the time we get up to the time we go to bed. And sometimes, if you're like me, up early, up late. Sometimes my days start at 7. Some days my nights end at 2 in the morning. I must stop. But, you know, Magic Mind has this fantastic small green elixir that has the power to power you up the entire day. This is the best formula, best elixir, best drink that I have ever had that has really kept me productive and moving. It has a, it has some matcha. It has some really good neurotropics that improve your attention span. The neurotropic is important because this is where you can have a better attention span. You have the ability to process and learn new information, and it helps your memory. And this has been like, last year was a wackadoodle year where I couldn't remember things and I wasn't on track. This year I've stepped into it full on, ready to go, and Magic Mind has been able to help me. It's a small green elixir. It looks like a little bottle. You take it, and I know what you're going to say. Green, it's green, gross. No. This is not like any other green drink I've ever tried. I don't know why. I feel like it tastes like grapefruit, but it has a very nice, fruity, natural taste to it. And if you're like me, I've been on a fitness journey since last year. I'm very cautious and very careful what I'm putting into my body now. And Magic Mind has been one of those things that has helped. One, it has cut down on my cream and coffee things. I don't do that anymore. And it really has helped me maintain that natural intake that I'm putting into my body. So I need you guys to try this out. Only in January can you crush all of your 2024 New Year's resolutions and stay focused all the way through. So you can get 1 month free when you're subscribing for, oh, fuck, there's music playing. I have to edit this. Damn it. All right, so before we get into getting that new list of conventions that you want to go to or go network at other places, let me tell you about Magic Mind. Now, before December of last year, I was a 4 to 5 cup coffee drinker, and I'm also on this fitness journey, so you know what that means. I was using a lot of cream. A lot of things to make my coffee taste good. Maybe run to Starbucks too. I was doing the worst to keep myself motivated and working consistently. Well, let me tell you something. Magic Mind fell into my hands one day, and it's probably one of the best things that has happened to me overall, cognitively, work mode wise, everything. You know, it's Magic Mind is this small elixir. It's a green little bottle, and it has a fantastic taste to it. It has some matcha, has some neurotropics. The neurotropics is the key, though, because it does help with your attention span and your ability to process and learn new information to your memory. Like, attention span is the worst for me, but I love it. It's been so fantastic to be able to stay on point, and it's something that coffee just wasn't doing anymore for me. It just was the thing I drank when I woke up in the morning. Not anymore. Now, especially since I am very cognitive of what's going on in my body and what's making it go, Magic Mind has now become that replacement for me. And I need all of you, especially you owners, CEOs, if you're like me, especially like me, that's up early at 7 in the morning and then you're up late until 2 a.m. and you need that little boost, this will do it for you. And so let me tell you, if you are determined to crush all of your 2024 New Year's resolutions and to stay completely focused while doing it, you need to get this 1 month free. When you're subscribing for 3 months at Magic Mind, you can go to magicmind.com/JanMDMC. And with my code MDMC20, that's an extra 20% off, which gets you to about 75% off. This only lasts until the end of January. So you got to hurry up and get this ASAP. I'm telling you now, it's going to revitalize and change your entire workflow, period. So go check it out now. You know, I really wish that when working with somebody, when you bring someone into your mix of, you know, your work mix of, you got to make sure that these people and their intentions are pure. So when you network, when you get in with things, like I said, do not make it seem so self-serving. It's not, you know, it is, but it's not. You really do have to have an interest in what other people are doing. Like I said, that didn't work out. I wish it had, because I really did have my hopes. I do tend to get emotionally involved with people. I really do. I feel bad for certain people. In this case, you know, I was able to get out of my home state, go off and do all these really cool things, and I had fun with it, and I was able to come back with something tangible. And because, you know, I was in California and doing all the things, you know, someone from my home state was like, I want to do what you do. And that's very, you know, it's very flattering just to hear someone say, oh, I want to do what you do. But when you blatantly come in and say, I need all your contacts, I need this, I need this, when you start demanding things from a connection, that's where that ends. And, you know, usually I sever ties after something like that happens. I have severed ties with that person. I don't know what they're doing now. I hope they're okay. But I know that they have not hit that thing they're trying to hit. I have no idea what happened, but I just sensed I was going to get taken advantage of, and I knew that it was not going to be good. So I had to pull away and do the right thing for myself. So there's that. And like I said, that conversation I had with my friend last night, it was pretty much on the nose, because, you know, we do know people that are like that. We do know people that are trying to take advantage of our work, or they're trying to monetize it in some way. I've had people flat out steal content from me and then print it on their flyers and be like, oh, yeah. I had someone say, oh, it was just a template. I said, you printed a template of stuff I wrote. And I threatened to cease and desist, and then I got blocked on everything. So I keep tabs though every now and then. So don't be like those people. I mean, I get it. It's very flattering that you think someone is doing great and they're thriving and they're doing what they need to do, but you just flat out can't steal from them or expect them to bend over backwards for you. What I would suggest, and if networking is the thing that you want to do in 2024, make a list of all the conventions you want to go to. Make a list and then put on the side in the next column. Do this in an Excel spreadsheet or a sheet on Google Sheets. Put the name of the convention and then why you want to go. And then see, what is your goal? I would put goals on the third column. Be like, goals. What's the goal? Meet 3 people. Meet 4 people. Meet people here, here, here. And then see if you can make those connections. And if you can meet 3 people, you know, at least 3 people at one show every month for the next 12 months. What is that? 12 times 3. That's 36 people you could possibly meet, interact with, and grow your network. That's just the minimum, especially if you manage to hit, you know, your goal is to hit 3, but you meet more people. I mean, that's pretty cool. So I would definitely suggest, doing that. I mean, there are so many Comic Cons I've gone to and so many places I've been to that networking has grown this pink and black logo and people that I've met, people that I've gotten to know, connections I've made has completely served my business 100%. So I encourage all of you to get on it, start meeting people, start doing what you need to do, and get out there. It's crazy. I have manifested my entire success with this company and meeting the people I needed to meet. I can't believe it. But also, I wasn't afraid to get out there. I knew what was coming, I knew what I wanted, and I shot my shot. I hope you shoot your shot this year, too. All right, guys, that is it for me. I hope you guys have a wonderful day and good luck with your planning and all that stuff. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, X, LinkedIn, YouTube, Instagram, everywhere. And don't forget that this episode gets streamed on all major podcast streaming sites, including Spotify, Pandora, iHeart, Amazon, Apple. We're everywhere. Check it out. And I will see you in the next episode. I hope you guys have a fantastic day, and we'll see you soon.